Everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I have my friend with me here today, Madeline Murray with Believe in Midwifery. She's been a certified professional midwife that has a very strong passion like I do to support midwifery businesses and help sustain this amazing profession. So how are you feeling today, Madeline?
I feel good. I'm getting out of the postpartum haze. I have a baby who's 3 months old, and so I feel like I'm finally kind of starting to come back into the world.
Yeah, I mean, going from one to two, you got practice, but it's also multitasking. And yeah, it was my son's two now, but yeah, going from two to three was another adjustment. So it kind of leads me into my question today. We had brainstormed our followers to see what questions they have. And being a mom and a midwife has been a very common topic. How do you balance it all? So if you want to list off a couple of your questions, and we'll see what we can do to answer them for you.
Yeah, sure. So one of the, like you said, a lot of the questions we've had lately have been about how to be a mom and a midwife. And so specifically, I got one just yesterday that said, "Hi, any tips for a new mama who's been bit by the bug and wants to learn more about becoming a midwife?" Which is, you know, that's how so many midwives are born, is that they have their own experience and they realize that they want this to be, you know, they want to do the same thing for other women, because having good midwifery care and having a good birth experience is so life-changing and life-altering that it just makes you want to share it with everyone else that you know.
Well, and when I was 16 and I learned about a midwife, I was like, this is like what you could do for a job. This is the coolest thing ever. So yeah, I was hit by the bug way before babies, but it is a very powerful, like you just, your mother intuition, your woman intuition, you just, to know that some party wants to help the other woman get a great birth experience is very powerful and it connects us all. So yeah, figuring out with your family and figuring out, I mean, you and I are in the trench of it. We both have young families, we're both midwives, and I think it's great. So tell a little bit more for the people that haven't heard you and I talk, like how long you've been a midwife and how you figured out why you want to be a midwife and how you created that balance, relatively speaking.
Yeah. So my story is different too. I do think that I got bit by the bug earlier, you know, before having my own children. And I do think that it's more common for women to have that experience than it is for women to decide they want to be midwives before they have children. But I was actually born at home. And so I think just growing up with such a different idea of what birth was than the general population. So that when I got to childbearing age and my friends started having babies, I realized very quickly that the experiences that was most common, that most women in this country were having, was not what I had always thought that birth was and should be and could be. And so that's kind of what sent me over the edge, was that, you know, we need midwives because we need more women to be having these powerful life-altering experiences, you know, that I'm talking about. And so that's why I wanted to become a midwife. And then, so I was a midwife first before I became a mother. And that's just a different, you know, the transitions are different, being a midwife first and becoming a mother, or being a mother and then becoming a midwife. It's two different journeys for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially with mine, I think just, yeah, starting young and having I knew I wanted to always help women. I knew I had this strong passion and drive that we needed to support each other. And then when becoming a midwifery professional, I didn't grow up when it was in my family. It wasn't the norm. And it was just watching one of those shows, the Birthday Channel, and just seeing what is a midwife and learning more. And going back, like I've been in so many directions with my midwifery practice, but I think it's gone to, how do I balance my family at this time in my life? Where is my passion? Where's my drive? Where do you live? Because that makes a big difference. Like, I think it's so important for women to figure out their sole purpose and prioritize, have a good heart to heart with your family or whoever is part of this journey with you, because it's going to evolve and you need to figure out, okay, is it the traditional midwife that you're going to catch babies and you're going to a home birth practice, a birth center practice, hospital, or is it supporting women in a different direction? I know you and I are more of supporting midwives in the bigger system. I still have a small home birth practice, but it fits that balance of, I had the busy, crazy home birth center practice, had a lot of ladies do, had partners, And I lost my family in that process. And so I had to rebalance, and I had to, I got burnout pretty significant. And that's why, you know, how you and I connected and how I really got midwifery business consultation going, because I wanted midwives to be moms. I wanted them to have the choice. I wanted them to have a good business foundation. So now they're not doing all these little side things that they're not the experts in, and they can be with their family at 6 o'clock at night. So yeah, I think you and I, our journeys, they evolve. And I can't tell you 10, 15 years from now what kind of midwife I'm going to be. But I've learned 4 years ago that my family is important, and how can I support women around my family? I'm not going to lose. There's too many midwives that are divorced. There's too many midwives that kids resent them when they're older. And I wanted a balance. And so, yeah, sometimes it's easy to find and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. It's a hard truth to hear, a harsh truth to hear. But being a midwife and an actual full-time practicing solo practice home birth midwife and a mom at the same time is to do well at both things, I think, is really an impossible task.
Yeah.
And so when you are a mom who just had this wonderful, amazing experience, and now you think you want to be a midwife, I think maybe my number one piece of advice is to look at the long game. You know, there's a lot of ways to help women, which is what being a midwife is. It's, mm-hmm. as we talked about before we started recording, it's with women. That's what being a midwife is. And so there's so many opportunities all around for us to help women in our community, women in our family, and then just follow what doors open. You know, mm-hmm. If you get into the birth community in your area and start offering yourself as, you know, birth support or
doula, childbirth education, you get a certification that is testing your exposure to this community.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you just slowly but surely, you know, follow open doors, like I said, and just see what happens. But all along the way, I think it's really important to prioritize the things that you want to prioritize. And so if you want to prioritize your family, then, you know, don't step into things that are going to take away from that in ways that go over and beyond what you're willing to give up, because that's when you cross the boundary into, you know, leading yourself towards burnout and leading yourself towards those things you talked about, like divorce and having your kids resent you later. And not just that, I mean, it's so much important for your own health.
Well-being, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To not have too much on your plate at one time, because, you know, being a mother of young children, as I can attest to, is full on, you know, and being a solo practice home birth midwife is full on. So like I said, I really don't think you can do both things, but that doesn't mean that there is not a place for you in midwifery. And it definitely doesn't mean that there's not a place for you to be a full-time practicing midwife, you know, in the next 10 or 15 years. And we will still need you at that point too.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you had talked about being solo, you and I have had previous conversations of having a partner, having good community, like having somebody where you can say, here, I have a partner, I have a backup option. So you can be at that recital, you can be at that baseball game, you can say to your kids, I am going to read you that book tonight, and be able to promise. Like I had learned a long time ago when I was running by myself, and you never knew. I mean, it's amazing, birth is in a 5 week window, but then it's the other direction. You don't know in that 5 week window. So you have backup plans, and you have to drive separately to family get togethers. There's so many weddings, and knowing in your life that, okay, can you create a 2 to 3 midwifery team that can cover each other for vacations and breaks and important things in life? Or can you have a good support system that you can be a mom? I mean, because being a single mom is very different than having a husband that stays at home and you've got a mom that lives across the street. I mean, you've got to jump at 2 a.m. and have backup plans for your entire life. So it's an amazing experience to be a midwife. We have a very privileged status, but it also is a very demanding one. It's one that you have to be realistic where you are in life, what kind of practice you want to have. If you're going to join a hospital team, a large midwifery practice, you're still going to support women, but you're going to have more structure to your life. So you may eventually, when the kids are out of the house, do your home birth practice, but join a team to help fit your work-life balance. So there's options. And I, like you said, it's tough being a young family. You're always prioritizing. You're always trying to figure out that balance.
Yeah. So it's important too, to find, as you are entering the community and getting to know people and serving women in all different kinds of capacities and getting into the birth community, it's important to hold on to your boundaries, hold on to your priorities, so that you'll attract other people who have the same boundaries and priorities. And so that you guys can, you know, hopefully join forces, like you just said, because being solo practice and being a mom is impossible in my mind. But being a mom and working in a group practice is totally possible, because I don't even think that it's wrong to miss a birthday every now and again, or a Christmas every now and again, if you're on call and it's, you know, your partner, your midwife partner has a wedding and you have a kid's birthday party or something, and one of you has to choose because one of you has to be on call. Like, missing something every once in a while is okay. But I think the problem comes when you can never promise, you can never guarantee, you know, that you're going to be able to go to your anniversary dinner with your husband or be at your kid's birthday party. And sometimes I think that people even just think about the big stuff all the time, and they don't think about the little stuff. Like, there's tons of little things that you miss, everyday things, when you are on call constantly, you know, because you can't even be fully present when you're putting your kid to bed at night. You know, you have your phone in your pocket because somebody might call you then, or when you're sitting down to have dinner with your family, or, you know, just in the car driving your kid to soccer practice. And every time you're in the car, you have to be on the phone, you know, ordering labs and whatever. Like, there's so much that if you have a partner that can share the load, then that means that you can have time that's dedicated only to your family and your life and the little things, like talking to your kids in the car when you're on the way to soccer practice, instead of always having your mind in two places at once.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's, and when we talk about being a mom and a midwife, midwife is such a big, there's so many educational backgrounds. There's so many settings of practice. You could be a midwife and do well woman care. It doesn't mean the classic catching babies. You could get your training as a certified nurse midwife and do a clinic for a while. And then when the kids are older, you could be a certified professional midwife and join a larger group. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. You just have to sit down and say, why do I want to be a midwife? What is important to me in life? And how can I make the two of those passions blend together? How can I make that type of utopia in your life? And it is possible. Sometimes you have to get creative. But yeah, like you said, the traditional midwifery practice is solo, home. If they want a vacation, they take 5 weeks off because they take a month off, like a lot of times in December and stuff. And so, yeah, how do you create that balance with a family and having your kids grow up in a lifestyle where mom's 24/7's got to jump at the fly? And what expectations are you setting for your kids in that type of upbringing? So it is, it's having good conversations. And that did, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but when I hit a wall of my kid asking for a new mom, I was like, nope, my boundaries of being a mom and a midwife have been broken. Like, it was the hardest thing that hit my core. Now it's a good thing. But back then, I felt so, my women I was serving became higher than my family and my kids I was having. And I needed to rebalance that. I don't want other midwives to be in that place. I don't want other midwives to now feel like they wish there were two of them. And I can't even care for myself. I can't even care for my women anymore. And I can't even care for my family anymore. You get down this, and that's why we talk about professional burnout. And there's a lot of midwives and healthcare providers, just they're stretched too thin. It's unrealistic expectations of what a human being can do.
Yeah. And so, you know, just as I said, there's a difference between being a midwife and then becoming a mother, and then being a mother and then becoming a midwife. Like, I was a midwife and I was in a group practice luckily. Mm-hmm. But I got pregnant and I had my first child, and I remained a midwife for about 9 months working for the group practice, remained a practicing, currently practicing midwife for about 9 months after he was born. And I wasn't on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was only on call about 8 days out of the month doing appointments 1 or 2 days a week. So it wasn't even, you know, a lot, but it was too much for me. You know, when he'd never slept. And so I was just exhausted all the time. So having to get up, you know, just the thought of getting a call in the middle of the night was just so much for my brain constantly, because I was completely exhausted constantly. And so I ultimately made that decision too. I never actually reached burnout, because I got to the place where I was like, you know what? Like, this is not, I don't want to be the constantly exhausted mom and the constantly exhausted midwife. Like, I would rather be here for my son more right now. So I chose him and my family instead of the women that I was serving. And it was a hard decision. I mean, it was an easy decision in my brain. Like, I knew that's what I needed to do. But when you have the heart of a midwife, it's hard, because you do care so much about these women that you care for. And, you know, we believe so much that what we do matters, and that it actually has an impact on these women and their families and on the world, honestly. So it's a really hard decision to make, but at the same time, I'm doing other things now, serving women in a different capacity. And so that's what people need to recognize, is like, you know, just catching the babies, like you said, is not the only way to be a midwife. And it's definitely not the only way to serve women. And, you know, and if that's what it's all about, then you just have to figure out a way that works with the stage of life that you're in. And it's going to be constantly evolving, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. I don't want us to seem like negative Nancy's. I just want us to be down to earth and real to women, because I think it is possible. I want to see lots of midwives. So do you. I think it's just getting, we have this utopia image of what midwifery looks like. It's just beautiful and it's amazing. We're thinking about the birth. We're not thinking about she had 3 back-to-back births right afterwards, or she was up all day, got her kids to school, had office, and then just 10:30 at night was so excited. She got in her warm bed and it's minus 20 degrees and the phone rings. I mean, there's goods and bads to midwifery. I wouldn't change that I've chose this profession. But I also like to have women. I want us to not have a turnover every 7 years. I want us to know there's opportunities. There's ways to serve women. There's different paths of midwifery. There's different ways to support based on your internal drives and where you are in life. So I think it's important to kind of broaden the sense of what we think of as a midwife and what we think of as possibilities.
Yeah. And you're right about the negative Nancy thing. I think people do just kind of have this expectation of like the midwife just being this amazing, you know, angelic creature with a wonderful life. And there is, like you said, so much about it is amazing and beautiful and wonderful. I mean, that's why we do it. But I think being realistic about the hard parts is really important for people to know when they're getting into it, not to turn them off, but to prepare them so that they can take it seriously, so that they're not going to just quit after 7 years, so that they can fit it into their lifestyle and, you know, and end up helping women for a long period of time. I mean, that's what my Believe in Midwifery is all about, is making midwifery sustainable in a way that you will be a midwife until the day you die. Yeah. You know, if that's what you want.
Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly. And it is like getting past this mental game we play with ourselves, why we signed up for a midwife. It's going to evolve with your life. It's going to evolve. You're going to, just because you chose to be a midwife, you may serve women in a different capacity at different stages of your life, and don't feel guilty about that. So if you chose, oh, I really wanted to be a midwife, but I, like you and I, we chose to be midwives before we had families. So we didn't have to now go through school and rebalance our family. We already had our midwifery path taken care of. then we had to restructure. Okay, I could be a midwife as young and single and a boyfriend and a happy-go-lucky family. But then once you have kids, you can't predict what that's going to look like, what that family arrangement and your commitments are going to be. And so getting women and midwives to not feel guilty when they need to evolve their practice style for a while, that's not your end game. This is just where you are in life. And we need to forgive ourselves for, we have this perfect pedestal. We need, like you said, the strong guilt of, I want to serve these women. There's not a lot of options if I choose this option, but you're not going to be a good midwife for them if you're torn and you're frustrated with your internal compass is telling you to go a different direction right now. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah. And so whenever I made the decision to step out of it for a while, you know, I talked to a number of people because I felt like I was this face of, you can be a midwife and be a mom and have a, you know, cause I was exactly what I talk about. I had a group practice. I had time off. I, you know, and my brand, my message is kind of like, you can do anything if you have a team. And so I was like, oh shoot, like, what is everybody, you know, am I going to lose all of my like,
brand and credibility you have?
Credibility if I step away. And pretty much everyone I talked to was like, no, absolutely not. Like, if anything, it's going to give you more credibility, because what you talk about is listening to your own internal compass and doing what you can do and when you can do it and whatever else. And so it's like, you know, it is so important to do what feels good in your heart. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, come back to it. You know, the phrase once a midwife, always a midwife is true. Like if this woman who sent me this message has actually been bit by the bug, then there's not going to be anything that stops her from, you know, serving women in whatever capacity she's able for as long as she's able.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that's a great way, because I don't want everybody dragging on, but our goal is at our two practices and businesses are to support women, midwifery business consultation, Believe in Midwifery, because we wholeheartedly believe in this profession and want to support our women and support our midwives. And so, yeah, I love the questions. And if people want to keep throwing more questions at us, Madeline and I will brainstorm them all day. You have a great rest of your day, Madeline, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too. This was fun.
Thanks. Bye.